Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ahluwalia Contracts Limited India Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Vora from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day to all, and on behalf of Ambit Capital, I thank the management of Ahluwalia Contracts India Limited for the opportunity to host your Q2 FY26 earnings call. We have the following members of the management with us today: Mr. Shobhit Uppal, Deputy Managing Director; Mr. Vikas Ahluwalia, Director; Mr. Satbeer Singh, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shobhit to walk us through the quarter. Thank you all, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everybody. Ahluwalia Contracts India Limited has announced financial results for Q2 FY26. During Q2 FY26, the company has achieved a turnover of 1,177.30 crores and a PAT of 79.45 crores in comparison to a turnover of 1,011.48 crores and a PAT of 38.36 crores in Q2 FY25. The company has registered a growth of 16.39% and 106.07% in turnover and PAT, respectively, during Q2 FY26 in comparison to Q2 FY25. EPS of the company for Q2 FY26 is rupees 11.80 as compared to rupees 5.73 in Q2 FY25. During Q2 FY26, the company's EBITDA margin is 10.92% as compared to 7.25%, and the PAT margin 6.63% as compared to 3.75% in the corresponding period. During the H1 FY26, the company has achieved a turnover of 2,182.18 crores and a PAT of rupees 130.16 crores in comparison to a turnover of 1,930.83 crores and a PAT of 68.96 crores in H1 of FY25. EPS of the company for H1 FY26 is rupees 19.43 as compared to rupees 10.29 in H1 FY25. During H1 FY26, the company's EBITDA margin is 9.85% as compared to 6.93% and a PAT margin of 5.88% as compared to 3.53% in the corresponding period of the last financial year. Net order book of the company as on 30th September 2025 is rupees 1,805.60 crores to be executed in the next two and a half years. Total order inflow during FY26 is 4,521.06 crores. At present, we are L1 in two projects aggregating 1,620 crores. Thank you. Over to you for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations on good margins, specifically. A couple of questions, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, a couple of questions, sir. First, this L1-1620 is the same of Bhubaneswar University and MIDC of Mumbai because it was 1,800 crores last time.
No, MIDC tender has since been canceled. OUTR, Bhubaneswar University, 16-20 mein OUTR hai, about 1,000 crores, and about 570 crores or thereabouts is RML Hospital in Delhi.
Okay.
Ram Manohar Lohia
Hospital in Delhi. Okay, got it. So now, given that in 1H, on the execution we have done 1,300%, for full year, for how we can look at and be given for 6,000, if I include the Alwar, 6,000 crore kind of inflow is there. So remaining four and a half months, much more order inflow are we looking at?
So our target was, as I had explained last time, was similar to last year, about 8,000 crores. We are confident that that is where we'll end up at, around that figure. New order.
Okay, and on the and in terms of revenue for full year, how much we can look at now?
I had given you a projection of 15% to 20%. We are maintaining that.
Yeah, no, so that range in the second half actually leads a decent 17% to 26% kind of a growth. So that's what wanted a maybe a narrow range.
Narrow range. Look, H2 traditionally is more remunerative, both in terms of revenue as well as consequently in terms of our earnings. So I think we are going to maintain that. It's not possible, as you know, abhi grap lag gaya hai Delhi mein. So abhi ye kitne din last karega, kya karega, that is there is a degree of uncertainty there. And today, since approximately 40% of our order book comes from NCR, that is a factor which will hit, but we are confident of our earlier projections being met. There are two projections that I had given during the last call, which is 15 to 20% top line growth and double digit EBITDA margins. We are well on our way to maintain, to get there.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to ask this NCR ban. In terms of last time also it got impacted. So how severe it is and how much it, obviously it is difficult to predict how long it will continue and how it will impact, but still broadly wanted how it affect our.
So you see, we feel that there are some measures which have been taken both by clients and us to mitigate the impact, because you know, both are the entire ecosystem is impacted when the work is shut down totally. So you know, this time the labor is not being allowed to go back to their native place. In fact, labor is post elections in Bihar, and the results, the labor has started coming back. Even when there is no work, the clients have agreed to pay them, even if they, when they are on site. So as and when the work restarts, you know, the time will not be wasted for getting the labor back from their native place or other locations. So we feel the impact this time around should be lesser.
Okay, and the margin now, can we see a 10.5% kind of a margin going forward, or maybe 11% going forward as a scale improves up?
Ravan, I am sticking my neck out and saying that we will maintain what I had projected last time. And we've done that. We are almost, for this quarter, we've crossed 10%. We are nearly at 11%, and we are nearly at 10% for H1. So I think overall it will be more than double digit. Let me just say that for the entire year.
And now the private sector wise is close to a 69% in order book. So we wanted a 60-odd%. So how do we see? So now going forward, we would be more on government orders, and do we see competition there?
Yeah, at the moment there is a lot of competition. So our focus by design only has been on private sector. But in the long run, you know, 60-40 hoga. We see now with you know, NDA coming with more majority, even stronger in Bihar, we see development picking up there. You know, we now see development again picking up in states like Assam. We see some private sector development. We bid for a couple of IT campuses in Bengal. So we see, you know, all round, well-rounded development happening both across public and private sector in states in which we are already present. So going forward, that's why I said, jo hamare target hai new order inflow ke, I don't see a challenge in meeting that.
And next
they,
year,
they will drive our earnings going forward. Continue to drive.
Yeah. True, true. So next year onwards also, can we see the similar 8,000 crore kind of order inflow and 15% plus kind of revenue growth?
I think so. I think so. I don't, there is no, I don't think there is going to be any slowdown. There is no slowdown on the horizon. At the moment, actually, to sort of give you the correct picture, in the private sector side, we are actually refusing work every month because we don't want the ratio to be skewed too much. So I don't see a problem. I don't see a challenge in maintaining the growth of 15% to 20% even next year.
Got it. Sir, this quarter, the employee cost has jumped up significantly. 121 odd crore versus Q1 it was 91 crore. So any specific in third quarter, how one can look at the staff cost on quarterly basis?
So this will, in H2, this will taper off slightly. This quarter it has gone up because we have declared increments and paid arrears. Because our increment, we put, they start from the calendar year, which is 1st January. This time we got delayed in implementing the increment. We were studying, doing our due diligence of what's happening in the industry. So we paid the arrears in this quarter, Q2. That is why this figure is higher. As our high volume projects, value projects, sorry, start, like Dahlias and Downtown, they pick up steam. This figure will come down slightly.
Okay, okay. I have more questions. We'll come back in queue and thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Manish Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, first of all, congrats on a very good set of results.
Thank you.
First question is on the pipeline, sir. What is the bid pipeline currently? If you can quantify where the bids are open and where you expect it to open in for next 5-6 months.
So the bids which have opened, in which we are L1, that I mentioned in response to Shravan's question, to OUTR in Bhubaneswar and Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital in Delhi. As far as the order pipeline is concerned, at the moment it is at about 6,500 crores. I would not like to give out the names of the projects that are under bidding at the moment, but it is a, let me say, it's a healthy mix of private and government sector projects.
Okay, sir. And sir, just one clarification, the figure that is mentioned in the PPT in terms of order inflow, around 4,374 CR, this is still YTD or this is for H1?
This is still date.
And sir, what will the figure for H1?
H1, I think it's H1. In the last month or so, we have not got any new orders. This is basically it's H1 and YTD is same.
Okay, sir. Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have one question. As we are becoming larger, and I believe in the next couple of years we will be 2x or even more, want to understand how are you building up for state in terms of either leadership, I mean not leadership alone, but in terms of systems, and how do you ensure that you are able to deliver at scale as we become much, much larger?
So primarily, if I understand your question correctly, you're talking about us scaling up in terms of staffing, in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, we are looking at for a, you know, much larger order book, right? And as we become bigger, we will, you know, we'll have a different set of challenges. It could be exponentially higher. For example, getting the engineering talent or getting you know, ensuring that the cash flows are managed, the systems are done. I just want to understand, how are you thinking about that aspect? If at all, that is a thing where you are actually spending a lot of time.
No, it's a valid question, but I think we have started preparing for this a few years ago, two, three years ago. One, and we've mentioned this in both me and Vikas have mentioned this in our interactions with all of you, either one-to-one or during investor calls. The company, a couple of years ago, embarked on a digitization drive, and it's an ambitious drive, which is hemmed by Vikas himself. And, you know, as a step one, we have implemented SAP. PwC has done that for us. We've gone live. The process, or the, this is being refined continuously as we speak. And, you know, this is the first step. The use of IT tools, be it tools developed by Autodesk, virtual modeling, digital twins, financial software, this is something that the company is doing very, very aggressively. And as I said, this is an ongoing process. Secondly, all of you know, we are heavily, our CapEx has increased. We are heavily investing into machinery, getting in new machinery from outside, getting in new shuttering systems, so that, you know, our efficiency increases.
May I ask you, what kind of machinery you are actually spending on?
So this is a lot of projects that we are doing now are, you know, are going up vertically. They are high-rise buildings, right? So, we are investing in heavy-duty machinery. Traditional cranes have given way to heavier cranes, where these cranes can be used not only to do RCC buildings, but also to do structural steel buildings. A lot of buildings that we are doing now have pre-engineered, are designed using pre-engineered techniques or using structural steel. So we are importing heavy-duty cranes. We are using larger and larger batching plants so that we can make higher, and these are all electronic batching plants, so that we can make higher grades of concrete captively. Because all these buildings, high-rise buildings, now using traditionally, you know, the highest grade of concrete, which was used 5 years ago, was M30, to put things in context. Now we're manufacturing our own grade going up to M80, right? So that is why we're using more and more sophisticated machinery. Then the CapEx is also towards using more refined shuttering systems or system shuttering, so to say, so that, you know, we can mitigate the skill shortage in terms of carpenters. We're using machinery, CNC machines, to do bar cutting or fabrication of reinforcement steel. So these are some of the measures. And then as far as the other aspect of skill shortage, which is staff, Ahluwalia for the last few years, even prior to COVID, has been investing in fresh talent. We go to campuses every year, barring the two or three years where COVID had impacted the industry. We recruit 50 to 60 fresh engineers, and we train them. So our investment in training is going up now. So these are a slew of measures that we've taken to sort of, you know, prepare for the growth, which is on the anvil.
Got it. So, for example, since you have so many parallel running projects, do you have a visibility of whether your procurement is actually optimized? So, for example, you may be buying a lot of scaffolding. There may be, in some places, there may be inventory shortage. Some places you may be using more. Is that something which you actually are able to track now, given the digitization, exactly on a daily basis? What is the planned target? What is an achieved target? Is your procurement getting centralized? I mean, all those things I'm just trying to understand. And on a journey of 1 to 10, I mean, on a journey of 1 to 10, in your own assessment, where are we, and when do you think we would be in a much comfortable position? Again, as per your own aspiration?
So let me answer the easier bit first. On a journey of 1 to 10, I think we would be at 4 if I was honest. Having said that, you know, we've always, say over the last 10 years or so, we've used some homegrown software that has sort of helped us keep in touch with what has been happening on at the ground as we've multiplied our geographical locations. Now, that is why we're using more and more tried and tested software now. SAP, I gave you an example. We're using tools like Power BI now that SAP is operational, or we've gone live to provide various kinds of dashboards to people at different levels of hierarchy in the company. So while it would be, I don't think it's a myth if anybody says, or it's a fallacy if anybody says that, you know, decisions are based anywhere in the world on a daily basis based on a set of figures, that's not happening anywhere. But yes, from doing a due diligence every quarter, I think the top management of the company is now looking at dashboards on a monthly basis, and you know, our intuition is coupled with more accurate or hygienic data which is coming to us or flowing to the top management, which is helping us take decisions even for projects where we are unable to hit the ground ourselves.
Thank you so much. I'll come back.
Thank you, Lakshmi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, on any update on Gemstone Jewelry project?
Vikas, would you like to answer that?
Yes. So we have received the environmental clearance on the project, and some ground clearance and excavation work is being done, but that is in the scope of the client. So while that is happening, we are now started with the engineering side of it, design and other things. So I think another 2 months time some work should start on ground.
Okay, so any guidance on how much revenue are we targeting for FY27? I believe 26 would not be much of a revenue on account of the initial work going on.
So of the total book order value, the first year is usually where, you know, things take shape. So maybe about 30-35% of the order value.
In FY27?
Yeah.
Okay. So secondly, on the working capital side, are you facing any challenge in any of the states, or is it smooth across?
No, I don't think there is anything untoward to sort of report as far as the working capital challenge is concerned on any of the projects.
Only days are improved in this quarter. This is already working capital has been improved in this quarter. This is 87 days approximately from 95 days in as on 32.
There is only one challenge which is on a broader this thing. I don't think it's something which is very challenging, but some money is stuck up in Maharashtra and Assam on account of GST revisions. But that's a statutory increase. It's just a matter of time when it will come.
But not sizable.
It's around 70 crores approximately.
Okay. So secondly, on the CHT station redevelopment, we have seen improved execution in the second quarter. So going forward, we should maintain this run rate in the second half. And how do you see 27 shaping up?
So VT has now finally, things have started to move. The design is finally getting closed, and we started the first round of work above the track also. Up till now, we were not doing work above the track, and the greenfield buildings, they are now, the biggest one is now out of the ground, and it's now, the progress is now better. We are expanding our structural steel fabrication capacity also. We are doubling it now in the next 2-3 months. because now the clearances have come, so now it makes sense to expand.
Okay, is there any revenue guidance for 26 and 27 from the project?
Pardon me?
A revenue guidance for the project from in 26 and 27?
About 40% of the order book or the order value.
In 27?
Yeah.
Okay. And so lastly, any challenge you are facing on the labor side?
Yeah, yeah. Labor is a continuous challenge. It is the biggest challenge that we are facing. You know, it's in extreme. In addition to the labor, there being a skills shortage, there is also an impact on account of, you know, events such as or festivals such as Diwali, Chhat, and then elections now, which just got over in Bihar. En masse, a lot of skilled workforce had gone to Bihar, especially this year because of implementation of FIR. So yeah, that challenge is there. That's why I mentioned in response to Shravan's question, the first question that was asked, that we are trying to reduce our dependency on labor or mitigate this problem by investing in higher mechanization.
Okay. And so lastly, what would be your mobilization advances and the interest bearing portion?
Mobilization advances right now at hold for a moment. This is 708 crore as on 30th September.
And the interest bearing portion?
What, pardon? Yeah?
Interest bearing out of this?
Interest bearing is around 33%.
Hello.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Participants may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sahu from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand on the other two major projects that we have apart from the jewelry one. On the CSMT part, so I think we you have mentioned to the previous individual. The execution has started over there, correct me if I'm wrong. And because since we were in designing phase till now, and the revenue that we are expecting is 40% in 27 of the order value. How much are we expecting in 26?
26, we don't have much of expectation. About another 400 crore rupees. In the next four
okay.
Actually, yeah, what Vikas is saying is totally, you know, we've given a projection of about 400 crores for the entire year, for the entire FY26. And so the balance in H2, it will be about 250 crores.
Okay, okay. Understood, sir. And same for the Zenzen jewelry, 30 to 35% of the order value is what to be considered as revenue potential for 26 also.
No, 27. 30%
30 to 35% FY27. Understood, sir. Understood. On the Dahlias project for Gurugram, I just wanted to check on the execution phase since, you know, we were expecting that the execution to begin by September 25. Are we on track on that part?
We are slightly delayed, but DLF has handed over two towers to us,
okay,
where work has begun. It just began prior to the rains. Because of the heavy rains in September, they got delayed in handing over the towers to us. Out of eight towers, they've handed over two towers, and the third tower also will be handed over now that the work is stopped for grab. That's why that's got delayed. But two towers, we started work on the ground, and we are expecting to pour concrete as soon as the grab is lifted.
Understood, sir. Same question on this particular project. Revenue potential for 26 and 27 on this project?
So for 26, we are looking at a revenue of about 100 crores and 100 to 125 crores. And for 27, the revenue will be between 300 to 350 crores.
Understood. Thanks a lot for being. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, the inflows that we received in last year, second half, especially on the private side, so how do you see the momentum picking up in those projects?
Which we picked up last year?
Yeah, so, yeah. Second half.
So yeah, downtown, DLF downtown, it's picking up now. We were on the verge of taking off. In fact, we've been logging a billing of about anywhere between 15 to 20 crores. This will be ramped up in the second, this will be ramped up by about 20 to 30%. And the other projects that we picked up last year, I think Signature Global was another sizable project, which is also picked up now. We are out of the foundation stage there. And, Varanasi Airport, Darbhanga Airport, they are running full stream. In fact, we are logging a billing of close to 25 to 30 crores on each of these two projects. So, Whiteland was a project which was always slated to begin in December. And that's what it will begin in December now.
So particularly for the two airport projects, so they are 24 month and 36 month deadline projects. So for 26, are we on track to maybe at least to 30 odd percent?
Yes, we are on track. In fact, you're saying FY26.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we are looking at 30%. Yeah, we are on track to do that. One project is about 650 crores, 30% would be close to 200 crores. We will touch that. We will cross that figure of 30% in both the projects.
And it should be even higher in 27?
Yeah, both projects will be completed. In fact, Varanasi, our stipulated date of completion is June or July 27. The client is trying to, because of elections somewhere in March, client is in UP, March 27, the client is pressing us to squeeze the timeline. We are on track and Darbhanga will get completed in October 26.
So payments also are not a challenge in either of the projects since it is
not at all, by
the client.
No challenge. In fact, on both the projects, or I don't think we've taken mobilization advance also.
Darbhanga, we've taken that reduced schedule.
Okay, sir. Typically, on an average, what would be your the interest cost on the mobilization advances?
It's really major. It's out of this interest bearing. This is a CST project. It's around 250 crore. That's the bearing, the 7%.
So are you asking the percentage that the client charges us?
Yeah.
No, the interest rate that we pay on the mob advance.
Yeah, so the interest rate is about 8 to 9%.
7 to 8%.
And sir, lastly, what would be our capex target for 26 and 27?
For 26, we've given a guidance of about 500 crores in the last call. It will be lesser than this only. And for 27, it will be lesser because, the equipment that we've invested in the last cycle, that will become free. A lot of projects will get completed. And so FY27, it should be about 20% lesser.
But so it should be around 400, 450 for 26?
Yeah, about 400 crores. About 400 crores.
And for 27, it will be around 300?
Yes.
Okay, so sir, we have seen that on the depreciation side, on a quarterly basis, this is still in the similar range of around 20 odd crore for the last couple of quarters. So when do we see it moving up? In the second half or in the next year?
Just we are planning to increase our CapEx this year, just around maybe around 350 to 400 crore, and depreciation will be moved according to that also.
And what was the CapEx in the first half of this year?
137
crores.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, retention money and unbilled revenue as on September?
Just retention money including non-current is 418 crore and unbilled revenue.
100 and, sir, retention you said 118 crore.
418 crore.
Okay, 418 crore. Okay.
And unbilled revenue is 552 crores.
552 crore. Okay. Got it. Sir, couple of things I just wanted to understand first. Sir, if I actually look at the annual report FY25, so there was a close to 25 crore land that we have purchased. Just wanted to understand where and why we purchased the land and how we will be, are we going to sell it immediately or?
No. This is the land which we procured to build our own office in Okhla. Our present office is in Okhla. We are spread across two buildings. One building is our own, one is on rent. This land, we will consolidate our offices, and this is the land where which we procured for that purpose.
Okay. So for office, so broadly, how much we will be spending for our office in terms of the capex?
At the moment, we are doing our planning. We will be building up, this is a 1300 square yard plot, so we will be building up close to about 30,000 square feet. So let's see, we'll be, our planning is happening at the moment. I will be better able to answer this during the next quarter call.
Okay, okay. And this year, the 350, 400 crore, the capex that we are planning to do, so this is primarily on the plant and machinery and shuttering material?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Okay, so broadly, because as per the calculation, if I look at the Nanda, accordingly, roughly 16-17% normally, that's the way we depreciate shuttering materials over a six-year odd. So how one can look at the depreciation at least in the next year, FY27?
I will get with you about that.
Okay, okay. And another thing, sir, just wanted to understand. So, let's say...
Lot of this, no, let this me further clarify. Let me clarify. While Satbir will answer this question in detail later, but a lot of investment in shuttering is on aluminium shuttering, right? So, the life of which at times is more than the standard depreciation formula that is used. I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah. Go on.
Okay.
So
okay.
You were asking something.
Yeah, yes. That's what I wanted to understand. So how whatever the 300 crore, if we are spending, multiply into, let's say, 15-16%. So that's the way one can look at, or how one can look at the depreciation for next.
300 crores is not totally on shuttering. A large chunk of this is machinery, and machinery is also a different kind. While a crane has a life which is much more than 6 years, but a batching plant would have a life which is maybe less than 6 years. So you cannot give a standard answer. Then shuttering, different kinds of shuttering have different lifespans.
Okay, okay. Got it. And another thing is, 18,000 crore is order book as on September, and top 10 projects that we have given in the PPT is close to 11,400 odd crore. So balance 6,600, 6,700 crore. That is kind of spread over 33 odd projects, and I believe out of that also would be at 200, 300 odd crore. So balance close to maybe a 4,500 odd crore would be spread over maybe a 28 odd project. So do we see this the remaining value most likely will be completed by 2027?
You can't say that, because in this smaller value projects there would be some projects which would be, say, MEP projects, standalone projects, where, you know, our company is doing MEP works also, right? So yeah, but if not FY27, by middle of FY28, the smaller value projects should get over.
Okay, okay. And just wanted to check, is there any update on the West Bengal Kolkata land? So previously we were thinking either to sell it or to do a joint venture, real estate development. So any progress there?
Progress, as I said last time, we are working actively to get necessary approvals to make the land free. I wouldn't say free from encumbrances, it is already encumbrance free, but to make it ready to build. So whether we do that ourselves or we sell it outright, that is something to be decided at a later date.
Okay, okay. And the flats that we are having, I think I don't remember, maybe a 40, 50, 60 odd crore, the old one. So is there any thought that when we will be able to sell it off and clear it off?
This is now 35 crores, and we are basically looking for that.
This value is also reducing as and when we have no intention of retaining it on our balance sheet. As and when we feel that we get a good price, we liquidate the inventory one by one.
Yeah, no, because the time it's with us for since long, so that's what I was asking. Has it kind of in next 6 months, 1 year, can we sell it off?
Depending, because a lot of this inventory is in say Noida, lots of changes happening in the laws there, you know, and some of this inventory is in projects where the client has gone into NCLT, while our inventory which is there on our balance sheet is secure. But we feel on some of these locations we'll get a better price once the project per se is sort of secured, and you know, electrical connections and so on, issues such as these are resolved. So we are waiting. We are in no hurry to sell. Whenever we feel we get a good price, we liquidate.
Okay, okay, okay. Got it. And last, Whiteland. So the last quarter it was 821 crore outstanding order book, and now it was 1065. So whatever, 244 odd crore. So that's the increase in scope that we have. So that's the value of the project now we will be executing.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Okay, and then this would be the execution most likely would be starting from the FY27 there.
Whiteland, it's FY27, you can say that.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Sir, can you speak a little louder, please?
Yes, I'll try. Hello, am I audible?
No, no, you're not. Your voice is very faint.
Hello?
Yeah, much better now.
Okay, sir. So, sir, just one question. What do we think about the cash, you know, which is on the books? I think the sizable amount now, 1,000 odd crores. So, any strategic moves we want to make in terms of either acquisitions or, you know, maybe augmenting our sort of size of the company by maybe getting into some adjacencies, etc.
Part of this is being used to fund our capex, especially especially because we've made a policy that on government projects where the advances are interest-bearing, we are trying to avoid taking the advances, right, to reduce our finance costs. Second, we are using this to reduce our procurement costs, right, to get better bargains from our suppliers and better maintain or control our supply chain. Thirdly, as we move along and as our base becomes larger, we are obviously studying sectors around our core competence to sort of diversify and maintain the growth rate going forward. So what we are building now, this will come in use 2 to 3 years down the line when we may look at getting in new technologies, tying up with foreign partners, or even looking at acquisitions. But let me clarify, acquisitions is not something which is on the anvil in the near future.
Understood. And how? Sorry, just to on that point again, how much is the retention out of this 1,000 crore? Sorry, not retention. My bad. My restricted cash.
About 419 crore.
Okay, so about 600 odd crore should be free in this 1,000 crore.
Yeah, 615 crore. That is.
Understood. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Participants may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I thought time is there, so let me try one more. Sir, on the residential part, so now obviously the 44% order book that we have in residential, if you can also specify how much is the private real estate developer per se. But there we don't see any kind of a risk. So simple point is, do we see any kind of a write off in terms of the extra provision on debtors going forward?
No, if you were to go through this pedigree of the clients, the private sector clients that we have, you'll see about 3,500 crores is 3,300 crores is DLF, which is the largest and the financially most stable and strong of all the developers. Then we have Signature Global, again a party which is financially stable. So we have Smart World, we have MR, right, and then we have Brigade down south. So these are all, we've done our due diligence, post the last downturn, and we've always maintained that, we have to be very strong on our due diligence when we take on a private sector client. Secondly, residential real estate, I don't think there is any sort of downturn which is on the anvil. I feel that over the next 3 to 4 years, the runway seems clear. And thirdly, we built in the safeguard with some of the newer clients with, like Whiteland and others, where we're not giving any bank guarantees. What I'm trying to say is that we have negotiated the contract in such a fashion that our financial liabilities are considerably, we've de-risked ourselves, so to say. So, have I answered your question or anything I've missed out?
Perfectly. So that's the only thing, because the exposure is increasing. So structurally, even if the one project goes on a maybe a half on the wrong track, then also it will have a decent issue for us. So that's the only thing, just wanted a clarity there.
Yes, and say, like say, I mentioned Wildlands. You know, the project will begin in December, as I said, but we've already got some mobilization advances from the client, right, which is interest-free. Similarly, with a few of our other private sector clients, clients like DLF, say, for instance, are while they are also very, very strong on their due diligence, they only work with 3 or 4 contractors across India, but they are funding our CAPEX. Right, so our exposure there is also considerably lesser if there is a slowdown in the project. And when they fund our CAPEX, that's also interest-free. That funding is interest-free.
Okay, great, sir, great. Thank you and all the
best. Thank you. Thanks, Rahul. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there no further questions from the participants? I would now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. Look forward to seeing you again or talking to you again after 3 months. Have a good evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you. Thank you.